On today's show, Paolo Banchero's pre-NBA draft media availability. We'll run that back in segments one and two and then discuss it and share thoughts in segment three coming up right here at Locked On Rockets.
This is Mission Control, Houston.
Ignition sequence start.
With the second pick in the 2021 NBA draft, the Houston Rockets select Jalen Green.
T-minus 15 seconds. Guidance is internal.
I'm going to keep working. I'm going to keep getting better every day. I'm going to keep perfecting my craft. And every time I step on that floor, I'm coming.
6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
What's up and welcome to another edition of Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast home for everything Houston Rockets basketball. As always, I'm your host, Jackson Gatlin, native Houstonian and credentialed media member. I'm also the host of Locked On NBA Mondays, host of the State of the Rockets podcast, as well as the founder of ClutchCityControlRoom.com. Be sure to follow along on Twitter at JT Gatlin and the show, of course, at Locked On Rockets. As always, we appreciate you for making Locked On Rockets your first listen each and every day, free and available on all platforms, Apple, Spotify, Google. Also on YouTube, go to YouTube, comment on the videos. The comments help us out a ton. How do you let me know how you feel about Paolo Banchero after listening to his media availability that we are going to dive into without further ado right now?
Okay, let's start with Kelly Iko.
Hey, Paolo, how you doing?
Good.
So in your meeting with Houston, I just want to know how that went, the kind of conversations you had with the team about potentially playing with Jalen Green, potentially playing with Kevin Porter Jr., how the team can maximize your talents on and off the ball. How did that go in Houston?
It went great in Houston. You know, I wouldn't say there was a lot, like too much talk about like strategy and whatnot, just because I'm not officially there or anywhere yet, but it went well, you know, talking to the coaches, the GM, saw a couple of the players. You know, they have a young crew and, you know, they want to play fast, space the floor. And they just see me fitting right in, you know, with my playmaking skills and ability to, you know, be anywhere on the floor, you know, just put me around, you know, they're talented guys and, you know, trying to put us together and create something I think is a plan that they have. But like I said, we didn't get into anything too specific, but it went well though. The visit went well.
Okay, up next is Alex Shaper.
Hey, Paolo, I got a two-parter for you. Just your mom being a star player at Washington, I know she played a huge part in your development. Just where do you think she maybe impacted you the most as a player and with your skill set? And do you kind of remember the first time you realized that, you know, mom could ball a little bit?
Yeah, well, growing up, like, all I would ever hear is people telling me stories about my mom, you know, raving about how good she was, you know, how dominant she was. And so I never saw her play, so it was kind of hard to believe. I mean, I believed it, but I just was like, you know, I couldn't really imagine it. But a couple years ago, she showed me, you know, a bunch of her college tapes, like just highlights from college and stuff. And so I got to see, like, really, you know, her playing and her stuff. And she was, you know, she was a four-year player, you know, dominated much of her career. And so it was great to see that. And then really just my game, you know, she's helped me in a lot of ways. But I would say the main thing is just the fundamentals. You know, she made sure growing up that I never lacked fundamentals. You know, she always stressed that to me, you know, instead of the other stuff, instead of the stuff that, you know, may look better or look more pretty. You know, she always made sure I was using the backboard, you know, being able to use my left hand, and talking on defense and offense, like just little stuff, you know, she made sure I was doing that. So she's helped me a lot just over the years.
Okay, David Thompson.
Hey, Paolo, how are you doing, man?
Good.
We were just talking to your former assistant coach, Chris Carwell, and, you know, he said if it was up to him, he'd take you number one overall. You know, what do you think about that, and do you agree with him?
Yeah, now, Sewell, that's one of my main men for sure. One of my favorite coaches. And yeah, I mean, he's a, obviously he's a coach at Duke, but you know, he's a great basketball mind and, you know, well respected, you know, in this space. And of course, you know, I agree with him. You know, I feel like, you know, I am the best player in the draft. And you know, I feel like I showed that throughout the year. I feel like I showed everything, just with my skill set, you know, the intangibles. So I definitely, you know, agree with what he said.
Okay, Brian Bearfield.
Hey, Paulo, thank you for doing this. If you are drafted by the Houston Rockets, where do you see your skill set blending in with the Kevin Porter Jr. and the Jalen Green?
Yeah, those are two extremely skilled, extremely talented players, you know, both who I've known for a while, Kevin being from the same city, Jalen, just known him since early high school years, going to camps and stuff. And it would be, I feel like it would be fun, you know, those guys are both unselfish, both seem like they want to win, and both, you know, are exciting. So, you know, if they were to add me to that, you know, I think it would just elevate, you know, them more, elevate myself, and elevate the team. So, yeah.
Thank you.
Okay, Brian Horace.
Hey, Paolo. Thanks for taking the time. Now that this pre-draft process is nearing the end, have you learned anything new about yourself going through it?
I would just say I learned just how much I truly miss, you know, playing and competing. You know, all the pre-draft has been, you know, one-on-one workouts and, you know, just kind of getting better, focusing on my shooting. It's all skill work. And I haven't been able to play any pickup, any 5-on-5, 3-on-3, I haven't even played really 1-on-1. So just missing that, you know, competing and, you know, playing to win and going against another man, you know, to try and beat him. You know, I kind of missed that whole aspect of the game. But, you know, I know that'll come back sooner than later. So you know, I haven't been going too crazy.
Thank you.
Hey, James Hamm.
Hey, Paolo, again, thanks for doing this. Just two questions. Number one, have you spoken to the Sacramento Kings at all? And number two, have you spoken to your mom about Sacramento since she was a Monarch back in 2000, a long time ago?
No, I haven't. I haven't spoken to Sacramento. My mom did play there. She lived there. I haven't really talked to her, you know, about the city recently, but, you know, I do know that she played there, lived there. Yeah.
Coming up, we continue Paolo Banchero's media availability after a quick message from our friends over at Bet Online, because betonline.net is your number one source for all of your sports betting stats and info. Find all the latest sports developments, news, odds, everything. There's no more NBA finals, but they got you covered for NHL, MLB, of course, all the latest fighting news, MMA, UFC, boxing, you name it, BetOnline has it over there. BetOnline is your continued source for all of your sports wagering information. You've got live betting, esports, the NBA draft, and more. And speaking of the NBA draft, right now we can take a look at the odds for who is going to go number 3 overall in this year's NBA draft to the Houston Rockets. Right now, Paolo Banchero, the odds on favorite at -500 to go 3rd overall. You got Jabari Smith Jr. at +900, Chet Holmgren at +1,000, Jaden Ivey at +1,200. So it feels like a pretty safe bet that Paolo Banchero is going to be a Houston Rocket, both based on the Vegas odds and kind of based on how he described Houston and talked about Houston in this pre-draft media availability. So for that and more, head to the BetOnline website today or use your mobile device to learn more about the trends and action available to you. BetOnline, it's where the game starts. And continuing on here at Locked on Rockets, your daily podcast, home for everything Houston Rockets basketball. As always, appreciate you for making LOR your first listen each and every day. Free and available, all platforms, Apple, Spotify, Google. Check us out on YouTube. The comments help tremendously. Go comment on the YouTube videos. They help out a ton. If you like the show, please go comment. Let's continue with Paolo Banchero right now.
Okay, Danielle Lerner.
Hey, Paul, I've got two for you. First of all, when talking to Houston, who within the organization have you actually been speaking with, you know, in terms of staff and maybe even players?
Yeah, when I was on my when I went to visit, I mean, I talked to Coach Silas, I talked to the GM, Stone, Mr. Stone, and I talked to a couple of players just while I was there. Yeah, I mean, it was all good stuff for sure. But outside of that, I haven't really talked to them or haven't really kept in contact with any of them recently. But on my visit, I talked to a lot of them.
Well, thank you. And then I also wanted to know, just since we've talked about your childhood a little bit, what's your earliest basketball memory, period?
My earliest basketball memory probably would be like being 3-4 years old and being in the gym, you know, watching my mom's team's practice, just sitting on the sideline, you know, dribbling the ball, playing around while she's coaching. Those are my earliest basketball memories. And shortly after that, I started playing. But before I started playing, I was just in the gym, you know, messing around on the side during my mom's practices.
Okay, Ernest Leo Hernandez.
Hi, Paolo. Ernest here from Sports On Air. And we got in touch with your cousin here in Manila, Chris Banquero. He says, great. Good luck to the upcoming NBA draft. What is your relationship with your cousin, and how big is this for the Banquero family to have another athlete and entering the professional ranks?
Yeah, man, Chris paved the way, I would say, for myself a little bit. You know, we went to the same high school. He was much older than me, but I grew up, you know, went to his games growing up when I was younger. He won state championships at O'Day. I won a state championship at O'Day. He was a well-known player around the city, you know, before I was. It was just funny, you know, because Chris is like 6'2" and he's white, and I'm like 6'9" and black. So when people would see, or when people would see my last name, they'd be like, "No way, you're related to Chris." And then when I would tell them that I was, they'd be like, "Oh, it makes sense," because he was very good, but we just don't really look alike. But no, man. He's had a great career over in the Philippines. It's been awesome to see. So this is a big time, I would say, for, you know, the Banquero family. So I'm proud.
Thank you, Paolo.
Okay, Jeff Garcia.
Thank you. Jeff Garcia, Ken's 5, San Antonio. Paolo, you mentioned, you tweeted about DeJounte Murray, the Seattle connection. What has he talked to you about this process? And what is it like to see another Seattle guy make it as well as he has on the NBA stage?
Yeah, it's great. You know, it's really, you know, it was really motivation, you know, seeing him make it. You know, I watched him all throughout high school. And then just the circumstances that he had to beat, you know, to get where he's at was just incredible. You know, the stuff he had to overcome throughout his life, you know. And yeah, he's reached out to me quite a bit, you know. I really consider him like a big brother. He's, you know, told me that, you know, enjoy this draft day, you know, live it up. You only got one draft week, one draft night. But soon as that, you know, 24 hours is over and you're drafted, you know, that's when the real work starts. And, you know, it's no mercy after that. You know, it's a kill or be killed type of environment in the NBA. So it's going to have, you know, you're going to have to be locked in from the jump.
Are you looking forward to possibly playing against him?
Oh, yeah, for sure. For sure. He's a great competitor. I'm a great competitor. So I can't wait.
All right. Thank you. Good luck to you.
Okay. We have time for about two more questions. We'll go with Kristen Peek and then final with Mark Berman.
Hey, Paolo. Question for you. Just a clarification. Did you ever play with KPJ on Seattle Rotary, or was he too older for you? Or is he too old?
Yeah, he was older. But
okay. Yeah. Okay, and then I wanted to ask you, I know you and Chet have battled in high school, you battled a couple times in college, but what has this process been like going to, like, through it together, and what are the conversations been like between you and Chet?
Yeah, it really is just, you know, it's incredible to see, you know, how far he's came, how far I've came, you know, it feels like kind of just not too long ago when we were, you know, freshmen and sophomores going to camps and stuff. So to be, you know, here is, you know, credit to his work that he's put in. And yeah, man, I mean, obviously he's right up there in the top three. So we're both, you know, really lucky, I feel like, to be here. And, you know, I just hope the best for him, you know, that he goes to a great spot and has a great career because, you know, he's putting the work.
Yeah, you guys will continue to battle, right?
For sure.
Thanks, Paolo.
Hey, Paolo, it's Mark Berman from Fox in Houston. Thank you all for getting me in here. I joined a tad late, so if it was asked something similar, bear with me. What would it mean to you to get the opportunity, if it happens, to play for Coach Silas? And part two, if the Rockets call your name, how do you think you'll feel?
I mean, I'll be blessed to hear my name called by any of the top three, Houston included. You know, I think they got a good situation that they're building. And, you know, if they were to add me, you know, to that and made me a part of it, then it would be a blessing. But like I say, you know, any of the top three, you know, I'd be happy with. But Houston is a great spot as well.
What about potentially getting the opportunity to play for Stephen Silas?
Yeah, that would also be, you know, a great opportunity just from meeting him. You know, he's a real, real smart coach, big on X's and O's. And just by talking to him, you can tell that, you know, he has a lot of stuff, you know, kind of planned, you know, in the future with the young core that they have. And whoever they add to that, whether it's me or somebody else, you know, he's gonna have it, I think, rolling. So, you know, that would be a great opportunity if it was to happen.
That's it for Paolo Banchero's pre-draft media availability. Coming up in just a moment, we'll discuss thoughts and opinions on kind of some of the stuff that stood out from his pre-draft media availability, the way that he answered his questions, the way that he talked about the Houston Rockets specifically, all of that coming up in just one moment. And final segment here at Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast, home for everything Houston Rockets basketball. Now, let's discuss takeaways from Paolo Banchero's pre-draft media availability. So first off, we got a good amount of very Houston-oriented questions in there. Shout out to all the amazing Houston media members that were able to chime in with a question. Of course, the GOAT himself, Kelly Eco, Brian Barefield, Big Sarge, Daniel Lerner, who does an incredible job for the Houston Chronicle, and then, of course, none other than the legend himself, Mark Berman. So, unfortunately, I wasn't able to get a question in there. There were a few other media guys from Houston that weren't able to get their questions called. It was a limited amount of allotted time, just about 15 minutes for Paolo to chat with the media. But I have a couple important takeaways here. So, the first of which is the way that he answered some of the questions regarding the Houston Rockets, right? You could tell, and this is kind of a formality, right, with a lot of these prospects, is you can kind of tell they're tiptoeing around, like, confirming, like, yeah, this team is the one that really wants me or whatever. But the way that Paolo spoke so highly of the Rockets, especially when he started, you know, he was kind of like glowing, right, talking about Jalen Green and KPJ and how unselfish they are and how these are guys that want to win and how, like, he'd be able to play off of those guys. And, you know, I think as the interview went on, kind of started to let his guard down a little bit more about letting more info out about the Houston Rockets specifically. Like, he started early on with Kelly's question and basically said that, yeah, they didn't get into, you know, much strategy, if at all, because, you know, it's not a certainty if he's going to be there or anything. And then later in the interview, when asked about, like, what it would be like working with Coach Silas, that kind of thing, he started saying, yeah, like, Silas, he's a big X's and O's guy. You can tell he's got big plans. Like, Houston would be a great spot. Like, he started kind of just warming up to it, to where it kind of feels like it's a done deal at this point. Like, I'm not trying to overreact to it, you know, and over, like, psychoanalyze his answers, but it feels like he was really receptive to the questions about the Houston Rockets. And again, a lot of those questions were very targeted because we had, you know, a decent chunk of Houston media in there, but all the questions about anywhere else, right, were very, you know, lackluster in comparison to the responses that he got that were very Rocket-centric. The other thing that really stood out to me was at one point when he was kind of reflecting on the story about his cousin, who is, I guess, 6'2 and white, Chris Banchero. He referred to himself as 6'9 and black. And so I'm curious, right, if the commentary about being 6'9 is, you know, maybe he's talking about, like, you know, a prior measurement or something, because we got word, right, that he's measuring it 6'10 and a half without shoes on. So maybe this is just like his own, like, mental note of himself, like, oh yeah, I'm 6'9", whatever. Or maybe it's a legit, like, oh, he is only 6'9". I don't think that, like, doesn't, like, sway anything crazy one way or the other. I do think it was really crazy exciting to hear that Paolo Banchero might legitimately be 6'10 or 6'10 and a half without shoes on. It's not unprecedented. We know for a fact that Ryan Hollins, our awesome Houston Rockets broadcaster, talked about the fact that he grew while he was in college and while he was still younger, right? And so there's still that possibility that Paolo views himself as 6'9", because he was probably 6'9 for a long time. But if he actually measured in at 6'10, 6'10 and a half, then that's at least, you know, of note. It's something worthy to consider. And also just the way that he delivered that, right? Like, yeah, my cousin's 6'2 and white, and I'm 6'9 and black. So people are like, how are you two related? I thought that was a hilarious line. Like, I legitimately, mic muted, media availability, I was like, lost it on that note. But you can really tell, like, Paolo talks about, you know, his playmaking ability. He brought that up multiple times throughout this availability, just talking about the fact that he has the ability to play off of other guys and kind of really leaning heavily into his identity as a playmaker, which is, at the end of the day, that's what's got me so much more excited about his possibility in a Houston Rockets jersey alongside guys like Jalen Green and Kevin Porter Jr. because of his ability to be a playmaker, to have the ball in his hands, but to also maybe make an impact without the ball in his hands. That was going to be my question for him if I had gotten called on. I wanted to ask him what he thought of his ability to impact the game without the basketball in his hands. And I was very curious to see what type of an answer we would get from him, if he would, you know, just talk about his screening ability, if he would talk about his ability to maybe be a bit more engaged defensively. I wanted to give him kind of an open-ended question and just kind of see where he took it. Unfortunately, didn't get that opportunity. Hopefully, there will be many more opportunities in the future to, you know, have opportunities to chat with Paolo Banchero about his game and what makes him special. And hopefully those opportunities will happen here in Houston. But I've got two other things that I want to chime in here at the end of this episode. Of course, this was majorly focused on Paolo Banchero, his media availability, all of that. But we did get a couple recent media reports, one from Jake Fisher and one from Kelly Eco, who I mentioned a little bit earlier. And we'll start with the Jake Fisher report, basically going into detail, not you know, a ton of detail, but basically reporting that there are, like, concerns amongst some NBA agents that there is hesitancy of players wanting to play in Houston, and that it stems more so from Kevin Porter Jr. being in Houston rather than it did Christian Wood. And I truly wonder, right, because, you know, Christian Wood, KPJ were probably the two guys on this Rockets team, and sayonara Christian Wood, who had some, you know, locker room chemistry issues, off the court issues, all that kind of stuff, right? And both of those guys, readily apparent, they've got their issues. KPJ seemed to have, you know, his head screwed on right for a majority of the season. He had his New Year's Day, you know, meltdown, and then had to kind of fight his way back from that, but seems to be in a good place now. However, again, if there's hesitancy, right, if you know, reliable sources like Jake Fisher are reporting on this, that there's legitimate hesitancy from agents around the league about wanting their players to go to Houston because of concerns with guys like Christian Wood, who is now gone, and Kevin Porter Jr., and that those concerns are majorly stemming from KPJ, I truly do wonder what that means for KPJ's longevity in Houston, right? Because that is something you have to take into consideration when you're considering team building, when you're considering trying to build a sustainable, like, you know, long-term future for this Houston Rockets team, when you're trying to build, you know, what hopefully turns into a dynasty down the line, is if guys don't want to play here because there's some locker room, you know, issues, concerns, whatever, about whatever KPJ's got going on off the court, then that is something that should be a bit concerning. Now, maybe this is a bit overblown, right? Because it feels like every single teammate that has played with KPJ has said wonderful things about him, right? And we've got like firsthand accounts from people within the Rockets organization, like Kaylee Griffin, who knew KPJ during his Cleveland days and now, you know, works closely with him here with the Houston Rockets, who has said nothing but glowing things about Kevin Porter Jr., both like publicly and privately, right? And then on top of that, you got players who Kevin Love, like, you know, just heaping praise on Kevin Porter Jr. during his time with the Cavaliers. You got tons of these Houston Rockets guys who love KPJ. You've got myself, you know, media members who cover the team, myself, other guys who, you know, see KPJ constantly and see the way that he interacts with fans, see the way that he interacts with his teammates, with his coaching staff, all of that. And I'm not to say, you know, not to say that we should just kind of like brush this off and say that it's not concerning, but I do wonder how impactful it'll be in the grand scheme of things, because for the most part, it does seem like young guys are excited to play with KPJ, right? Jalen Green was excited to play with KPJ. Paolo Banchero seems possibly excited to play with KPJ, both Seattle-based guys, that kind of thing. So it's worth noting, it's worth at least mentioning. And then the other little bit of reported news here that I'll tack on at the very end is Kelly Eco shared that Jae'Sean Tate is apparently shooting lights out after tweaking his shooting form this offseason. And so I'm curious, you know, one, what tweaking his shooting form means, right? And I wonder what lights out means, because, I mean, he was shooting, what, 30, 31% this past year? So, like, is lights out, like, 34%, 35%? Are we talking, is Jae'Sean Tate suddenly, like, a 38, 39, 40% three-point shooter? Because if that's the case, he's the bona fide starter. Like, he is the starting three for this team moving forward, period, bar none. I don't want to hear any discussions about Eric Gordon being in the Rockets' starting lineup, and I'd rather him get ushered out the door sooner rather than later, if that's the case, because the biggest holdup on Jae'Sean Tate's game has been his three-point shooting. So if that has resolved itself this offseason, this early in the offseason of all things, right? If that is the case, then Jae'Sean Tate absolutely has a long-term future here and a locked-in starting role for this Houston Rockets team, given everything else he provides, the size, the physicality, the defense, the playmaking, the shot creation ability, all of that. The only holdup on his game has been his shooting, and then maybe a little bit him playing out of position at the four spot. If you could play him at the three consistently, you know, he's still maybe a little bit undersized at 6'4", but he makes up for it by being an absolute dog defensively and getting after it on that side of the court, to where him guarding legitimate wings as opposed to being matched up against legitimate bigs would do a world of difference for him to not, you know, again, Jae'Sean Tate doesn't ever really get exposed, but there are times where the Rockets felt small with him at the power forward spot rather than him playing more his natural position of the three. So those are final thoughts on those two latest little tidbits regarding the Rockets. Let me know what you thought about Paolo Banchero's media availability in the comments on YouTube. Go comment on YouTube. Remember, Florida house, Florida team, Florida algorithm. Go put that in the YouTube comments. I always smile when I see people who comment Florida algorithm or Florida algae. That is my favorite thing to see in the comments. But with that, if you haven't done so, please consider subscribing to the show wherever you get your podcasts, Apple, Spotify, Google, the Odyssey app, free and available on all platforms. Check us out on YouTube. Go to YouTube, search Locked On Rockets, like, comment, subscribe, all that good stuff. But as always, thank you so much for watching. Thank you so much for listening. We look forward to having you back right here at Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast home for everything Houston Rockets basketball.